This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
From yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 6th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Scally. How you doing, Scally?
You know, Taryn, I am okay, except I left some muffins out, and they keep disappearing. And there's no one else really here but you in the morning, so.
Do I look like a man that would eat a muffin?
Just one muffin. That's true. That is a very good alibi and reason, because there were some left. So
I might know who ate the muffin, but it wasn't me.
Okay. All right. I would just like to imagine many other random scenarios in which this could be other people's muffin. Take that into account.
Oh, boy. Well, we are here to update on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 24 live feeds. It was day 31. In the house, and we have some nominations. We have some, really, I would say this day was more of like blocks falling into place, seeds that were being planted for a very niche outcome for the veto, so that if the veto falls in a certain way, things might happen, but most of it might end up being irrelevant for this week, but the fact that things are sort of building at all is definitely forecasting a rocky future in the road for the leftovers. But if that wasn't vague enough, we'll get to it here in the day. Really, and I think it's explained immediately when Michael, who is our HOH, talks to the cameras. His plan is that he is going to put Terrence, Monty, and Joseph on the block. And then if the veto is used on them, put up Daniel and Kyle to send Daniel out. It's what the whole house is on board with. However, secretly, Michael has expressed that, hey, if the veto doesn't get used, you can send Terrence out. However, here on day 31, he says to the cameras, I don't want to look back and feel like I missed my shot at one of the big threats in the game, in my alliance. And the problem is that the big threats are in my alliance. And he kind of runs through the players. Taylor's not going up. He loves Taylor. The thing with Daniel is that he's wanted to work with him. He feels like that's what he should be doing, but Daniel won't play ball. Doesn't really want Indy to go because she's such a goat. Joseph is a huge physical threat. He likes Alyssa, and Kyle's the person that talks the most game with him. He hopes Jasmine and Terrence don't have more going on than he knows, but that's obviously something that he needs to look at. He's not going to target Turner, and he wants to go to the final two with Brittany. And that just leaves Monty, who is the biggest threat to win the game in his eyes. And he volunteered for the block this week. Now, if things were to go wrong and Monty left, he wouldn't be too upset about it.
And the thing is, I think the phrasing there is very key, is if things were to go wrong, like you cannot be the one pushing this in the right direction. It has to be out of your hands. I feel like, sure, so many people look back and think, I made the move too late and I waited too long, but I don't know that the week before jury is really at risk of being too late just yet, especially for someone who is like a hair away from being the biggest threat in the house. Maybe we don't need to highlight even more how you are a giant threat.
Yes. So again, like, Michael is taking this very cautiously, and we'll see that throughout the day, that like, according to most of the, like, most of the people Michael talks game to, most of the house, the people that he trusts, the secret plan is, well, if the veto isn't used, then, ooh, maybe we get out Terrence to weaken Monty and Joseph. But the secret plan is maybe the votes would be there to take out Monty. But he's not going to use that plan at all until everything is completely in place for it to happen. For now, the fake secret plan is taking out Terrence. And I think that is the right call to make for now, as he talks this through. So, so right away in the day, we're like, oh boy, Michael might be willing to take an even bigger shot than we thought. Because they're all, again, anticipating that this twist is going to end after this week. So the festy bestie thing no longer provides the incentive for big alliances to stick together. And they're all anticipating that shots are going to be taken, and they all want to be the first one to take that shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it's appealing, but when you really need there to be targets around you, I get that you're looking at Daniel and thinking, well, he could be that target. But if so many people that you're already strategizing with are also flagging up Monty and Joseph as big targets, and you think that they are picking up side pieces, which you are not, well, then maybe removing one of those side pieces is the move instead. Maybe actually doing work to take those side pieces for yourself is also a good idea, because I feel like, yeah, sure, Daniel will be there, but if you actively make this move, is are you going to take precedence over Daniel now?
Yeah. And I think that's the key again, where it's like, the only way Michael goes through with this is if, like, it wasn't really his shot, right? Like it's somebody else's shot. And Michael was like, oh man, what happened? And has that plausible deniability. So we will see. And or just like hiding within the numbers that we're all willing to take the shot. But he's going to have some one-on-ones throughout the morning. He is approaching his HOH in the sort of like individual meeting, asking everybody the same questions kind of method. Which is a pretty decent one, especially if you already have, you know, a lot of information and a lot of allies, and you're mostly just trying to go through the motions and make everyone feel comfortable. He's going to ask each person if they have a name of somebody that they would like to target. Basically gets everybody to name Daniel as their target, so that they are all complicit in this move. And also asks everyone if they'd feel comfortable going up as a pawn, flagging the idea that, hey, you might go up on the block. Because look, and he talks about it, like, if we're going to backdoor Daniel, then there's only five, you know, bestie groups in the game. One of them is me and Brittany, can't nominate ourselves. One of them is Daniel and Kyle. If we're not nominating Daniel and Kyle because we're backdooring them, that only leaves three total groups. So options are limited. Then if you remove Jasmine from the equation, because you need somebody competing in the veto, you've really only got two groups. It's like, things might happen, but, you know, it's probably not going to be you, he says to Alyssa, Indy, and Jasmine. So I think handles this pretty well going through these one-on-ones, and does what he needs to do here.
Yeah, I feel like everyone sees the writing on the wall, because one of the first things he says even in the week is like, I'm not putting up Taylor almost no matter what. Indy and Alyssa are not like 100% on that. So like Alyssa says, like, if you got to do it, you got to do it. I wouldn't love it, but it is what it is. I understand that options are limited. But pretty much everyone knows that it's going to be Montef, Josie, and Joseph and Terrence. That is what it is at this point. They're basically the only willing and capable option.
Mm-hmm. So he goes through the one-on-ones. He does have a conversation with Michael with Daniel, where Daniel pitches to Michael, hey, use me. I will do your dirty work. I have nothing and no one in this game. I am not worth taking out on your HOH when you can use me to take shots at people that you otherwise would not be able to take shots at. And this is exactly what Michael would like to do if possible. Not even just necessarily having Daniel take those shots, but just having Daniel in the house as somebody that wants to take those shots is a distraction to the people that that may otherwise look at Michael in the future, right? So he's giving Michael the pitch of exactly what he wants. Personally, if I'm Michael, I'm like, You're too smart. Like, I don't want my dirty work distraction to know that they're the dirty work distraction. Because if you know you're the dirty work distraction, when it comes to doing the dirty work, you're going to be like, hey, now I have power. Why am I doing dirty work when I can do my own work? And that's dangerous to me. So this pitch to me would backfire. I would be like, I would love to use you to do my dirty work, but the fact that you're pitching to me that you will do my dirty work tells me you won't do my dirty work. So I can't have you doing my dirty work.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that, like, if you go out of your way to keep Daniel in the house, alarm bells are going off for basically everyone. And then, like, you're exposed. If you take out someone and, like, say, like, all right, alarm bells are going to be exposed, let me go ahead and actively fire a shot, like, internally, let's say at Monty, then, like, who is Daniel taking the shot at for you at this point? Like, maybe Joseph, but is Daniel guaranteed to win next week when probably at that point, like, most of the house would be centered, you know, anyway? I just feel like there's not enough people that he needs Daniel to take a shot at that other people aren't willing to do already.
Mm-hmm. So Michael is also going to have a talk with Alyssa. He has a talk with everyone, but the one with Alyssa is somewhat important because they do progress along the timeline of creating this potential group where Alyssa says, hey, I really trust you, Michael. I really feel good about working with you, Brittany, and Kyle. And Michael agrees. This final 4/5 with Turner /6 with Taylor has been developing. The seeds are there. They're all kind of floating around each other. It has not been solidified yet, but they are still circling around the potential for it. This is usually what happens before something does eventually get locked in. I thought there was a chance it would, but I think the problem is that Taylor hasn't been inducted in enough for her to be a part of it, because they were all up there playing checkers last night, like literally the six of them. And I was like, oh man, if they had done a little more work, this could like solidify right here. But it did not. But the seeds are still, being fertilized here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting, 'cause I feel like the reason why Michael is looking at other targets this week is because he wants to isolate his allies in Monty and Joseph's. They don't have many other opportunities, but is starting to look at an alliance in which they bring in Alyssa, then giving Kyle other options towards the end game. I feel like Alyssa, sure, she's nice. She's like, fine. You can seemingly get along with her, but if you take her too far, you are really risking losing Kyle, who I think is a very valuable piece for Michael moving forward. And then I just think it's probably too risky to leave him with too many options.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. Like, cool. Well, because here's the thing. I think that Michael is correct in being worried about bringing Monty and Joseph too far, because, you know, if he was happily bringing them along, I think we would all be like, did you not see what happened in Big Brother 23, Big Brother 22, Big Brother 21, Big Brother 20? Like, what are you doing? But at the same time, there is a danger here with Kyle, because Kyle is also a big dude, maybe not quite as muscly, but also somebody to be worried about, also in a showman's and has this Turner connection. I think that's the real trick here, is that the Kyle and Turner final two is very secret, and Michael does not know about it. Michael feels like Turner is just kind of like floating around. That Turner's somebody that they can pull in. He has a great relationship with Taylor. He has a great relationship with Brittany and him. That obviously Turner would want to choose, you know, them over Kyle and Alyssa, who are a showman's. But that may not be the case, which is the most danger here for Michael. But he is definitely still looking at Kyle as like, you know, he definitely also doesn't want Kyle to get into the end game. He has said so. It's just that for now, he's looking at, you know, Monty and Joseph, who are talking about being in an alliance with Jasmine, Indy, and Terrence, versus a group of his own with Kyle, Alyssa, Turner, Brittany, and Taylor. And he's like, well, for now, this group works for me, and then I can deal with Kyle after, because they are just the more pressing threat over there, because I don't have those relationships with Jasmine, Indy, and Terrence. And I do have these relationships over here.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is, when Michael's discussing his end game, he's talking about how great it would be to go to the end with an Indy, with a Jasmine. But like, if you're taking out all of the people who are actively loyal towards you right now because you don't want them to use those side pieces, like, someone's got to win the competitions at the end. I understand that Michael stands a great chance, but just at a certain point, like, there are X number of people left in the house. They're going to win one, two. And when there are no other threats around you, I feel like Michael is in kind of a rough position where he doesn't have those relationships really yet with Jasmine and Indy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That's developing. Kyle's going to talk to Michael again. Kyle is going to bring up, of course, the fact that the night before, Monty had straight up talked about, like, yep, Jasmine approached us about making an alliance, herself, me, Joseph, Indy, Terrence. It really is like Monty, I get that you're loyal to your alliance. You got to stop telling them about your other alliances. You got to stop, please. Mm-hmm. I was not as down on it in the first time it happened, when he was with Mamba and he told them about Oasis, because it was early in the game. It was a way to build trust with them, to prove that he was with them. It ended up backfiring and he ended up losing Pooch, and Oasis blew up and all of his options diminished, because the people he was working with were like, we don't want Monty to have other options. And so they cut them off. Learn from that, Monty. Don't do the same thing again, because it's literally the same exact script. He's telling them, oh yeah, we've got this side alliance thing. Obviously I'm not loyal to it. Doesn't matter if you're loyal to it. People don't want you to have other options. They want to have the other options. And so they're like, yeah, it's great that he's telling us. It means he must be loyal to us. That's so good. But obviously he's not going to say no to this alliance, which means it's now an alliance, which means that if we're taking out Alyssa and Daniel and leaving in his alliance, one of two things can happen from there. One is that when he wins at that point, he might decide, why am I taking out Terrence, Indy, or Jasmine, who think they're in an alliance with me and I can totally beat in the end. When I've got Michael Comp Beast King, Kyle over here, like all of these other people that I can take shots at that are going to make the game much more difficult for me, that alone is terrifying. But then even beyond that, even if you still trust Terrence at Monty at that point, what if Terrence, Indy, or Jasmine win in HOH? They're obviously not going to target Monty and Joseph, and at which point, you're screwed. So obviously, if you tell them this, they're going to be like, well, we have to take them out first at the very least. And so that's kind of what the discussion is. Like, obviously, this alliance exists, but what that means is that we need them to leave because we cannot be in a situation where it's the seven of us plus three people that are in an alliance with Monty and Joseph. Like, that's just no good for us. So we need to make sure we keep Alyssa, and we really need to consider trying to get out one of Indy, Jasmine, or Terrence this week at the very least.
Mm-hmm. I know that they're not the most appealing targets on their own, but when you start looking at just like vote counts, should you end up against an alliance member on the block in a certain week, like you can't trust Terrence for anything. No, he's never staying like still, even if you think you have his allegiance. So that's why I don't think Terrence actually makes the worst target, just because you can't predict where he's going to go. And then like elsewhere, again, they're not ill to you than they are towards the people that you think you're going to be going a little further with.
So so that's kind of where they're standing at this point. Michael's going to talk with Taylor, and they kind of reconnect about their final three. It's been a little while since they've had a check-in. They talk through the options for the week. Basically just, you know, Michael and Brittany are mostly on the same page about working with Kyle and Alyssa and moving forward in that direction. They haven't really talked to Taylor about it yet. So this is mostly just Michael setting the stage for a conversation they're going to have later in the day where they're starting to open up even more about their thoughts about moving forward. So we'll kind of circle back to the Taylor stuff. Michael's going to talk with Brittany. And he is going to be like, look, this is a big conversation. He says, my concern with taking out Daniel is that I become the next target after that, right? Daniel is the person who has won the second most amount of competitions. And so if I take out Daniel, now I have far and away won the most amount of competitions. And I'm worried that people will start to look at this. Meanwhile, Monty is talking to Turner and Kyle saying, you know, Michael's really killing it in these competitions. We really need to make sure we're looking at him when things get down to it. And it's like, at this point in the day, I'm like, oh man, like, I really thought, like, even when Michael said, hey, if Monty leaves, he leaves, I was like, sure, but how is that ever going to happen? Like, very unlikely. But then throughout the day, it was just like piece after piece fell into place. Michael was open to it. Then he has the conversation with Taylor. She's maybe not like super open to it, but she's open to the idea of working with, going in a different direction. And when working with Alyssa, Kyle and Alyssa obviously are like, those seeds are planting. Then Monty straight up says, oh, maybe looking to target Michael once we get down to it, eh? To Kyle. Oh man. Like if Michael hears this, like that's the kind of thing that will tip you from, should I make this move? I don't know. Should I make this move? I don't know. To, oh my God, yes, I have to make this move. Even if it is like once we hit seven. And then on top of that, I can tell you that Jasmine, Indy, and Alyssa, once they find out who goes on the block, are going to be like, wow, wouldn't it be great if we voted out Monty? Which means that already, if Monty stays on the block, there will be 1, 2, 3 plus Daniel 4 out of 8 votes to get Monty out of the house, which means Michael could outright just break the tie and evict Monty, or just have one person from the leftovers. Whoa, who flipped? Oh my God, Monty left? Who did it? Oh no! And all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, it is a real possibility here that Monty might actually leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Monty, I think, putting too much stock kind of in the, like, inner circle of which is the pound, really not thinking that this has a chance of going back to Michael, I think. And I think that's probably a wrong read. I think Michael, if he hears this, sure. It, like Monty is saying, basically at seven, we should really be looking at Michael is like kind of how it came off. Mm-hmm. But I understand we are not super close to seven, but how many more chances is Michael going to have as HOH to really do anything about this? So it's, you know, not as far off as it may seem.
Yeah. So again, even though all of these pieces lined up in just the right way for Monty to potentially leave, there's still a lot of work to, or there are a lot of things that have to happen for it to get there. Primarily with the veto, you know, a lot of what we're talking about may end up being irrelevant just based on the veto draw itself, because it's, in my opinion, pretty unlikely that the veto is not used. Because even if Daniel and Kyle do win, even if they're chosen and they win it. Even one more other piece that lends to this Monty thing. And I'm spoiling some of the day because I'm just trying to get this all together. But in addition to all of those other things, people being willing to vote Monty out, Michael thinking it's maybe an option, Taylor, Kyle, Alyssa, Brittany, all kind of being somewhat on board. In addition to all of that, Monty saying Michael's name, Terrence is going to have a conversation with Daniel saying, hey, they're trying to vote you out. They're trying to backdoor you. But don't worry. We just need you to win the veto. If you get drawn to play, I'm willing to throw the veto. I'm willing to throw it so that Monty and Joseph can't win, make it more likely that you win it. Just again, like just things again, not saying that it's going to happen, but things are just making it more and more likely that this option is available. It just like it was really just like the people who do the star stuff. The planets were aligning, like the moon was in the orbit of Jupiter.
Yeah, it's like, sure, a lot of dominoes have to fall just in the right order for this to happen. But Terrence is saying, well, if it stops, I'll go ahead and push over the next domino. So and Terrence can, I think, realistically throw a veto competition and not raise too many red flags. I believe him. I don't usually believe a whole lot of what Terrence says in the house, but I do believe this thing. I do think he would throw it. And he has reason to believe that he has the votes. I think that if you just like look at Terrence versus Monty and Joseph, you're going to think people are going to take this big shot, obviously. But I mean, it's more of a 50-50. We're not 100% sure, but Terrence feels solid enough to actually go through with this.
Yes. So all of this is happening, but Michael's talking with Brittany and he says, we need to discuss when and who we strike first. And he says, the thing is, I'm not going to approach any of these conversations before the veto because, you know, for all we know. And I love this again. You can just tell when a player knows the show and they know the game. Michael is not making rookie mistakes here. He understands that things might not even play out with the veto. It is not worth even broaching the topic to anyone that he's even remotely thinking about this until the possibility is actually in front of him. Because if he starts, I mean, it's sort of like, and it's like, compare that to Monty, who is like talking about final seven at the final 12. It's like, let's be very cautious about this. He says, ideally, Kyle and Daniel win the veto. They don't use it. She's like, well, would Kyle be down for those conversations? He says, I think so. He says, as of right now, Terrence would go if the three remained on the block. But you know, hypothetically, if the Alliance wanted to make a move, like with five out of the seven on board, that could happen. I think we are at a point where that is a possibility. The only concern, though, is that if we do this and the other side is more united than we think, we just give them a gift by taking a shot at one of our own, which would not be great. But they talk about how Monty and Joseph are talking about. They have this alliance with Indy, Jasmine, and Terrence, which is very concerning. So, you know, at the very least, we need to make sure that we are pulling in Alyssa. And he says that Alyssa approached him again about working together, said that she felt really good about Brittany. They feel really good about Alyssa joining them, and Alyssa choosing their side over Monty and Joseph's side. That's, again, like just getting completely on the same page with Brittany here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will agree that it is good not to strategize at all. This house is extremely leaky. Brittany being one of the leakiest members of the house, but I don't think she'll screw over Michael. So I think he's okay here.
Yeah. You know what? Brittany's really, she hasn't really leaked anything lately. It's really, she's been much better lately about the leakiness.
Yeah. Put her in a spot of security and look how the game changes.
He does end up talking about the fraternity thing that Nicole brought up. Essentially says, like, I don't really fully believe what she said about it, meaning that they're working together. He's like, I don't know. I've never been in a fraternity. I don't really understand it, but I don't think that it would mean that there's this strong connection, like Nicole was saying. But if you don't remember what this is, Nicole on her way out of the door said to Michael, hey, Monty is in a fraternity, which is the same one as Jasmine's husband, and Taylor is in a sister sorority to the fraternity, but that's not true about Taylor. It's not a sister sorority to the blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And Brittany's like, yeah, I don't think Taylor is with them. I think Taylor is with us. And Michael agrees. Brittany says it does seem like the five of us can band against Joseph and Monty. And Michael says, I agree. I think I really don't want to let them too close to the end game competitions. Monty is just a really well-rounded competitor. He is very physical. He has been very good at the mental comps as well. He won that porta potty thing. He was able to win that, like, the crapshoot thing. Like, Monty is a very well-rounded competitor. Doesn't want him anywhere near the end game competitions. Obviously Joseph is very physical, and he says, I mean, I also think Kyle will be very good at those competitions. So we need to make sure we're keeping an eye on that as well. He is in an alliance with three of these guys that are in the archetype of people that just dominate those end game competitions. Two of them seem like they're a duo. One of them talks a lot of game with him, so he's kind of putting Kyle on the back burner for now, but he's definitely not forgetting about the fact that Kyle could also win a bunch of those endgame competitions, and that will be something that he has to deal with eventually.
Mm-hmm. It's a really tough position to be, like, in an alliance of all of the big threats in the house, essentially, and know that you are one of the biggest threats, but not really as close with the next biggest threats. Like, they will take a shot at you while protecting each other. And that's a tough position, because I think that, like, while, like, Brittany and Taylor can be, like, pretty, like, decent, win some competitions, it seems like Monty is the, like, next most, Kyle being the next most, who, like, if you just let too many of those big threats get deep, it's a problem.
Yeah. So Brittany says, all right, I need to talk to you about something, Michael. I know this sounds stupid, but if I'm being honest, like, I'm running through the scenarios, and I really don't see many scenarios where I win this game. Like, I'm just, like, looking at, like, who can I sit next to in the final two? And it's like, yeah, maybe I can, like, sit next to Indy and win, but, like, you know, like, who else? Like, I can't beat Taylor. I can't beat you. But honestly, like, I'm kind of okay with that. Like, I know that sounds stupid, but, like, honestly, I just don't have a lot of good relationships in this house. I didn't really get off on the right foot. So I know this sounds ridiculous, but, like, my thought is, like, what if I play this game through the lens of knowing that I'm playing for second place? Like, could that open us up to doing some, like, weird and interesting things that no other duo could do in this game? Because I'm actively, like, aware of the fact that I'm playing for second place. And Michael's like, oh, I could never ask you to do that. He's like, come on, there's still tons of game to be played. Like, you never know where this will go. And she's like, well, yeah, like, I know my big move in the game is to take you out in the end. But I genuinely don't want to do that. I'm learning more about myself and I just feel like I don't want to make that move. And he's like, well, I'm happy to hear that. She's like, I guess what I'm saying is that I'm willing to be messy in the game because I'm willing to just be like, I don't care if people vote for me in the end because I don't think they're going to anyway. I don't know. Maybe that opens us up to doing some interesting things.
It certainly interesting things. I mean, ideally, you want every person in there playing to win. I understand that Brittany is looking at a position where she's like, my win equity is at like a couple percentage points. Like, is that really worth me just like screwing over every person I really like in the house? I mean, yeah, it's going to get what I think is more of the fans more likely to have a outcome that they enjoy. So maybe people are going to be rooting for Brittany to be playing for second place. But I just feel like, sure, you don't want to take Michael out, but someone's going to take that shot at some point and you could be the beneficiary of it. So I would not say that like playing with Michael and also keeping those chances for you to win the game in the game are necessarily diametrically opposed.
Yeah, I get where Brittany is coming from because that's the reason her Stockwatch rating is not as high as the rest of the leftovers. She is probably the least likely person within the leftovers to win the game because as of right now, she just doesn't have that respect in the game to win jury votes in the end. But we are playing a game that Josh won jury votes in. Like... At this point in the game in Big Brother 19, it felt like Josh was completely drawing dead with jury votes. It took an act of nature to just like completely turn that around. In my opinion, you should never genuinely give up here. And who knows, maybe this is part of a play. Maybe this is a way to help keep Michael more loyal to her moving forward, make him feel comfortable. I actually kind of like the play if it is, because I think it is probably based in a lot of truth. But maybe secretly she's still hoping that there are some things that she can do. Obviously there's a lot of different ways that you can come around this. Either start winning competitions. If you can't do that, start doing what Kevin did in Big Brother Canada 10, like start just like, it's a kind of discrediting and taking ownership of things and, you know, just doing different forms of jury management, goodbye message stuff. Like there's all kinds of different things that you can do to win some respect. And hey, maybe just being like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to be messy. Maybe that will honestly help her moving forward because it will help put her in a different light and maybe win some respect. So I definitely would not count her out yet.
Not at all. And I feel like she's on the inside of things where she knows that like it's about to be a war between the guys of the house. And for Brittany, that's phenomenal. Like, if they can start taking each other out, Brittany is so far under that radar. I don't see a world in which she goes out in weeks. So, like, those pieces that people are kind of fighting over right now, go make them yours. Because eventually, the pieces that the people that they're loyal to won't be there anymore. And you could pick them up instead.
Mm-hmm. So, she goes on to say, and this is why I think that that we are, like, it's a little more likely that she is being genuine here than it is a play. She goes on to say, okay, and there's something else I need to tell you. If I told you that I wasn't a researcher, what do you think I would be? An actor? No.
You could give me 3.5 years and I would never get to hypnotherapist. Just like, in what world is that anyone's 1,000th guess?
Yeah, well, she starts with like, I own my own business. He's like, oh, doing hypnotherapy.
Okay. Not where I thought we were going. Like, people have been told her, like, Brittany, you would make a good therapist. But still, like, the dots are not connecting. Would never, ever have gone in this direction.
She says, I promise the meditation sessions are not hypnotherapy. She talks about it. She's like, and here's the thing, like, you know, in my preseason stuff, I was like, I'm going to use my hypnotherapist to, you know, techniques to get down to the bottom of the game. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to hypnotize my competition. But it doesn't work that way. None of the tactics I thought I would use in here have worked at all. None of it works in the game. And he's like, oh, I get what you're saying about that. When I was in Sequester, I read How to Win Friends and Influence People, and I've been trying to use any, like, the techniques in that book, and none of them work in this game. So dumb.
Yeah, I did find it interesting that Brittany was chanting, Michael, I am playing for second place. but it doesn't seem to work. I think she realized mid-conversation and abandoned that strategy. Yeah, Brittany, I like cannot imagine a world in which this is a play. It's 100% genuine.
Yeah, and I think this is an interesting conversation because it sort of aligns with a lot of what we sort of talk around, which is that the Big Brother house is, or the Big Brother game is on, obviously, like, a microcosm of society in a lot of ways, but it also has its own unique quirks and rules and like things to it. So, you know, a social psychologist or like somebody who really like studies human behavior or like reads a lot of self-help books, I guess, like going into the Big Brother house is not necessarily going to be able to just apply their knowledge of society to Big Brother and it just works. There are lots of quirks to Big Brother, and people who know the show are going to be much more likely to understand the psychology of how people work in the game than people who understand psychology outside of the game, in my opinion, because it is different. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. But he says, Michael says, wow, what a secret. Well, I guess I have something to tell you too. You know, I wish I had a comparable secret to share, but I only have a small one. My secret is that I purposely fall off the slack line in the backyard.
Ah, Michael, you dog, you got me. You know what? I don't even know. I don't think that this was going to do any real bonding experience, but I'm okay with the move of like, let me really soul search for something to give you. And this is the best I can come up with.
This is like in movies or TV shows when it's like you're like dying for somebody to like share their like tell them you love them. And they're like, hey, Scally, I've got something to tell you.
Okay.
We've known each other for a long time, and I just feel like it's finally time to tell you that I really think that you need to take the trash out.
Okay, that's not where I thought that was going. All right, I'll get right on that.
Anyway. He's like, yeah, secretly I actually own a slack line. So I've been pretending to fall off the slack line in the backyard, which I actually think, like, I just love what Michael's doing. I always have thought, like, if I was in the Big Brother house and I was playing bumper pool or like balancing on a slack line, I would absolutely just suck at everything I did. To any little bit of like perception that I'm not going to be as good at, as long as that's like my aim, right? Maybe if I'm winning competitions, I want to suck at everything else. I'm not that threatening. If I'm not winning competitions, maybe I want to do well at those things so people don't think that I'm useless in the game. It just depends. But I like that he's thinking along those lines.
Yeah, I have thought of like, oh, just think of all the chess games you'll be throwing. And it is physically painful. Someone that is that competitive. But yeah, I think needs to be done, Michael.
So the only other thing they really talk about is that Michael's like, what other things of Jasmine's can we eat anyway? He says, can I trust you with something? Can I trust you with something I saw on the spy screen? Because I saw Turner pour water in the bag last night. Mm. They're like, ah. don't worry, we'll get to Muffingate.
Muffingate.
So ultimately, we get to the nomination ceremony. Monty, Joseph, and Terrence go up on the block as planned. As I said, Jasmine, Alyssa, and Indy all come together. They agree they're not voting out Joseph or Terrence. If Daniel goes, that's fine. But like, if Monty goes, I mean, they also talk about how. So there was another thing that happened where the night before on day 30, the night of day 30. Kyle and Alyssa, they're doing a little canoodling.
I'm just too horny, dude.
And again, they wake up Indy, who's like, guys, please, I'm trying to sleep. So here on day 30, 31, Kyle went and, he pulled Indy up into the have not room. He's like, I'm so sorry, Indy. Oh my God. I'm so embarrassed. Like, I really want to apologize. I don't want to ruin your friendship. Like with Alyssa, like, I'm just so sorry. And he's like, oh my God, it's totally fine. Don't worry about it. It's like, yeah, of course it was annoying, but like, I don't care. Like, it's honestly, I love the two of you together. You love each other. It's great. Kyle's like, oh, I saw the Indy, and they hug and it's a nice moment. And so then Indy tells Alyssa about it when they're after they talk about voting out Monty, and Alyssa's like, oh my God, yeah, he felt so bad. He's just like the sweetest. And Indy's like, yeah, he's the sweetest. And Jasmine's like, oh my God, you two are going to have babies. And Alyssa's like, oh, and they keep talking like, oh, I just wish that he would make the move and just kiss me. You know, he's like, kiss me all over my face, but not in my mouth yet. And like, oh, we got to make it happen. And Indy's like, no, what you got to do is you got to surprise him with like a secret date night in the have not room. And she's like, oh my God, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Jasmine actually says that she bets by this time next year, Kyle and Alyssa will have babies. I don't think that is the right timeline for things to be going. Let's slow things down, please.
Oh man. So look, I mean, this is the group of players that they're all really concerned about.
Yeah.
as I said, Daniel and Terrence talk. Terrence says he's willing to throw the veto competition. Brittany, Taylor, and Michael are gonna reconvene, and this is when they really start talking more about the direction they want to go. They talk about the potential divide in the leftovers. It's all the same stuff that has been discussed. They're just getting Taylor up to speed. And for the most part, Taylor is like, yeah, I'm on board. Which is, you know, obviously major progression here. Obviously we can't go to the end with Monty and Joseph. Like, yep. Taylor says, well, if we were to take a big shot, like, I feel like it's not Joseph. I think Monty is the one that we should take the shot at. Brittany's like, well, I do think Joseph is smart. And if we take the shot at Monty, I do think Joseph would consolidate with Indy, Jasmine, and Terrence. I think he has those relationships better than Monty does. I actually agree with Brittany on this. I think Joseph is the shot right now because he has much tighter relationships. I mean, what we just heard from Jasmine, Indy, and Alyssa, we're not voting out Joseph. No, we love Joseph. We're voting out Monty. Monty is more loyal to the leftovers in the way that like he doesn't have those relationships as much with the other players, and the other players are much more likely to work with Joseph than with Monty, in my opinion. So I actually think that Joseph is the person that should leave over Monty if they were to take that shot, but that's not what their current thought process is.
Yeah, we are not going to be putting that into the ether. My guy Joseph will be staying right where he is. Thank you very much. I mean, it's not surprising when, especially from Taylor's point of view, she's been like avoiding Brittany and Michael, saying that like people already view them as such a strong duo. She doesn't want to get lumped in as a trio and have it exposed how close they are, which like good. But she also has like been pretty clear that she really likes Joseph. And in the early weeks, it was I am 100% targeting Monty. So it's not surprising to hear that she gets on board pretty easily for this. She says, like, I'm not saying explicitly that he's my target, but I'm also not saying it. So I think Taylor was a pretty easy flip here to be on board for a Monty boot.
Yes. So, you know, they also talk about, like, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for Daniel to stay. And they get talking about something that I think has maybe confused some people, because people really want Daniel to leave. But Taylor kind of feels like, honestly, I think that Daniel in the jury is better for me than somebody like, say, Indy. I wouldn't mind seeing Indy leave this week. She's like, I hate to see a woman leave, you know, on an HOH. But, you know, Indy not being in jury is kind of good for me, I think. And Daniel being on the jury is not that bad. And kind of the reasoning here that they discuss is that they know that Daniel is screwed. They know that Daniel, at the very least, is going to have to subject himself to what Nicole did yesterday, which is like 3 hours of people asking her questions about Taylor. You know, his best case scenario is that he has not lost his job, they talk about. So from their perspective, if Daniel is on the jury, you know, he can not want to vote for Taylor all he wants, but if he wants any amount of like cred to get back in the game, in society, he'll probably vote for Taylor. And I'm going to say, I agree with them. I thought that Nicole was never going to be a vote for Taylor. I stand by that. If Nicole and Daniel were both on the jury, I think together they would be able to support each other enough to stand up against the pressure of the rest of the jury and not vote for Taylor, and maybe even get other people like Jasmine and Indy and whoever else who's not a fan of Taylor on board with them, because they'd have that center core to support each other and branch out. But with Nicole gone, we've always seen this to be true, that Daniel is very easily sort of like swayed by other people. And if Daniel is in the jury on his own without Nicole, and he's got people like Brittany or Monty or whoever in there telling him like, oh no, dude, that stuff you're talking about with Taylor, like, you better cut that out. Remember, Daniel is the guy who was like, Monty's support against Taylor really means so much to me. Like the fact that like he is a black man, like is telling me that he's going to look out for me. If Monty is no longer supporting his position, he is not going to stand on that leg. I fully believe that to be true. So I think that Taylor and Michael and Brittany actually have the right read here, because on the other hand, I think that Indy is fully willing to just be like, I don't give an F. Mm-hmm. I don't like her. I don't have to vote for her. I'm voting with my heart. And my heart tells me no to Taylor.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like I'm shaky on the Daniel, like, truth of it all. I don't know where he'll end up, but I do know that Indy is always just going to vote for who she likes more. Like, that is solid. There is. So I see the reasoning completely there, and I don't think that will ever be Taylor. So I can understand the logic there. It's also going to be hard for Taylor to ever convince her to work with her, no matter how deep they get into the game. So I see that logic. They talk about how Daniel's a fan of the game, so he's going to vote for gameplay. But when, in terms of like Daniel rehabilitating his image, it is possible, but I think people also have a really, really hard time seeing themselves as the villain. And if people are telling him that, there is the chance that he also like really digs in his heels and is like, no, I'm still right. Like, just will not accept it. I feel like we have seen that as well. Yes, Nicole not being there certainly aids the chance that he, you know, sees the error of his ways, but I'm not 100% convinced that's going to change either.
Yes. Well, that's kind of Taylor's thought process. She kind of feels like Daniel on the jury is kind of a good thing. She also would like to be the one to take him out herself. So that's kind of where her head is at. And, you know, if things don't work out with the Daniel situation, they don't end up taking, like, if the veto is used and she ends up going on the block with Alyssa and Indy, she doesn't want Alyssa to go. She wants Indy to go. She thinks that they agrees with them that Alyssa is willing to side with them over Monty and Joseph, and that she would be willing to work in that direction. So again, basically getting Taylor up to speed and sort of getting Taylor's thoughts on where she would like things to go moving forward.
Yeah. And I think I'm glad that she's caught up to date. I never where Kyle was thinking Taylor was like obviously on the other side of the house. I don't think that was ever the case. I think she was always more likely to side with Brittany and Michael, obviously. Mm-hmm.
That's most of the strategy that's being talked about. Joseph is going to talk with Turner and Taylor about his take on everything, which is, of course, that like, you know, he is still of the opinion that like, obviously he needs to come off the block. Even if Daniel and Kyle do win the veto, like Kyle would need to force the veto to be used on them, and then they can get up, you know, get out Alyssa, like whatever. You know, and Turner and Taylor are like, yeah. So we'll see where all of that goes. Taylor talks to the cameras late into the night and says, the only shots I can take if Daniel goes this week are Jasmine or Terrence, because she can't take out Indy herself, but she doesn't want Indy in jury. She does think that Daniel will respect the game. And why won't people take a shot at Monty? So that's kind of where her head is at. But we've got some muffins to talk about.
Oh, these muffins.
So obviously the previously on Muffin Gate, Turner swapped out the muffins with some cookies and then poured some water into the bag with the cookie. And by the time everyone woke up and saw the cookie, it was just a big old mess of liquid cookie, and it was gross.
I love petty things. This is a peak feeds for me. I'm very, very on board with Muffingate.
So investigation continues. Who would do this? It's all fun and games. You know, people are enjoying it. Who took the cookie? Who ate the muffin? It's all going around. Everyone's having fun until we have a rat.
There's somebody, a lot of leaky people in this house. There's somebody, a lot of suspects.
Somebody goes to Jasmine and lets her know, hey, Turner is the one that ate the muffin.
Wow, not her festy bestie.
Oh, no. And we have reason to believe here that Terrence is our muffin rat. How dare he? But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's not how dare Terrence, because Jasmine, who is having a lot of fun with this muffin business, as soon as she is told that it's Turner, wait a minute. Hold on. This is like, like you're getting love notes, secret love notes from somebody, right? Like, hey, I like you, heart. You're like, ooh, oh, wow, somebody likes me. And you're like, you're looking at all of the people that you like, and you're like, oh man, I bet it's one of them. This is great. This is so much fun. Love notes. And then, eventually you find out like, it's the kid that doesn't shower, and is really smelly, and you're like, oh no, now I hate the love notes. Jasmine was having a lot of fun with Muffingate until she found out that it was Turner that was behind Muffingate, and now she hates it.
Yeah. Funny, because the last time we were talking, Alyssa was complaining about how Jasmine doesn't shower. But no, can't have Turner's dirty hands on those muffins, according to Jasmine.
Yeah. She is upset. She is upset. How dare, like, it's not Turner. Like, his stinky hands all over my muffins? No. And she gets upset. She's upset with everyone because apparently everyone's in on it. And she even goes, she confronts Alyssa. Alyssa, I know it was Turner eating my muffins, and I'm done with it. And you know what? I know that you knew. I know that you knew, and you didn't tell me. Alyssa's like, oh, are you upset? Like, yeah, I'm upset. Like, oh, what? I thought you were having fun with your detective thing. She's like, I was, but I don't like Turner like that. Anybody else? Not Turner. This really upsets me. Like, oh my God. Who told you about that? I'm not going to rat them out. I'm no rat. Like somebody told you and now it's not fun. Like what? What's going on? It's like, nope. Alyssa's like in near tears. She's just like, oh my God.
Especially when you could say, like, again, Alyssa's been known to leak things before. And this one she kept very secretive, never letting Jasmine know. I feel like Jasmine and Alyssa have like the tiniest bit of strain on their relationship. But I don't know if this is going to really make the biggest impact. Can't help.
So she writes a new note. She says, my friend, game on. Enjoy the muffin because you're going to need it.
Oh, what a threat. How are you so desperately need a muffin? But okay.
She goes to Turner with Terrence right there backing her up. She goes, she's now telling people it's Turner. Turner finds out that she's saying it's Turner. And so Turner comes down and she's like, I know you think I ate your muffin. She's like, I know you ate the first half. And he's no, come on. He says, like, somebody came up to me. They were like, I know you ate the muffin. I didn't eat the muffin. She says, I think you should fess up, festy bestie. And Terrence is like, ha, ha, ha. She's like, yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it? He's like, yeah. Turner's like, maybe I know who it is, but it wasn't me. She's like, fine, then just tell me. Was it a boy or a girl? He's like, I don't know. I don't know who did it. She's like, you just said you knew who did it. And he's like, no, I didn't. I said, maybe I knew who did it. She's like, y'all think I can't read people, but that's fine. That's chill. That's whatever. And he's like, all right, you know, you can read people. Do I know who did it or not? She's like, why would I reveal that to you? Because then that would tell you what I think I know. Terrence is like, oh, that was another good one. Yeah.
The ultimate peanut gallery in Terrence.
Turner leaves. It's like, we're not done with this yet. Luckily with Turner, she's still like having fun, but she is genuinely still upset by it. Indy tries to talk to Turner later and she's like, Jasmine's really starting to get mad about the muffins. And Turner's like, why are you telling me this? Do I look like a guy that would just eat a muffin?
Yeah, I don't know. I do also Jasmine's attempt to be like, well, imagine that this was Megan's muffin. Then how would you feel about it? Like, excuse me? Like what?
Okay. I'd probably eat it. To be honest, yeah. Probably be pretty chill about it. Yeah. So Indy's telling Turner, chill with the muffins because she's starting to get mad. Turner's like, do I look like a guy that would just eat a muffin? And then Jasmine is in the bedroom hearing this in the kitchen. Here's her name. Hold on, Taylor, what? You're talking about me. She comes out, but she doesn't have time to get all the way out there because Indy's already walking back. And she's like, what are you saying about me? Indy in there about the muffins. And he's like, I'm just trying to tell them that you're that it's not fun anymore and that they shouldn't be doing it. And she's like, what'd you say about me? She's like, it's not fun anymore. It's like, yeah, that's what I was saying. She's like, who's out there? I'm like, oh, Kyle was like, oh, we're just having fun. No, it's not fun. It was Turner, Kyle, Alyssa. It was one of those three. They were all in on it.
All right. You know what? And that's the thing is you got to get everyone on it. Get everyone's hands dirty. Everyone starts stealing muffins. And I feel like people are primed and ready to go to be in on this.
Mm-hmm. Muffingate. It was serious at first and turned into fun. And now it's back to serious. That's not Turner. Anybody but Turner.
Mm, Yeah, not ideal. This is why he did not want to find out. Maybe he should start pitching for Jasmine to go. Don't want that on jury. Because Muffingate, I think, has legs. Might stick around.
Yeah, muffins with legs. that's pretty much the day. Michael takes a bath, talks about all his favorite players from Big Brother. Loves Ika and amongst other people. Hopes he's not furniture. Hopes that the audience loves Taylor because she's amazing. Hopes they like Brittany because she's the sweetest person ever. You know, just taking a bath.
Yeah, you know, naming his favorite players. A few questionable decisions, but otherwise, decent list.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the day. Again, just a lot of like things coming into place for a potential Monty target, or you know. Theoretically, this could flip on Joseph as well, but probably more likely Monty if that goes through at all. Still, maybe Terrence. We could be in a spot where Terrence throws the veto and then goes home, which would be just like after Pooch and Nicole, like just ridiculous. And then, but it really, it just depends on this veto draw, which I don't know if the feeds have gone down yet for the veto draw, but obviously that's going to be a major bit here. I think they might be down for the veto draw right now. So that's going to be, if Daniel and Kyle aren't chosen, I think it's going to be very difficult to see a scenario where the veto is not used and Daniel does not go up on the block unless things really start to move into place. We could see, because Kyle has not used the information that Monty dropped Michael's name yet, we could see a scenario where if that happens, if the veto is used or looking like it might be used, Kyle might go to Michael and be like, look, Monty dropped your name. I really think you've got to just make the move, not put up Daniel and me and do something else. I think there's also a chance that, say, if Taylor, Indy and Alyssa are drawn, if they win, Taylor is the one that would be like, you know, pressured into wanting to use the veto, because I think Alyssa and Indy would be inclined to not use it. And so Taylor could then go like, actually, maybe I don't want Daniel to go. Maybe I don't want to use it. So that's a possibility as well. Obviously, if Terrence fails to throw the veto, that could prevent the veto from not being used. But even Michael and Brittany winning theoretically could put them in a situation where, like, actually things have changed and we don't want the veto to be used. So the veto draw is very important, because the most likely way this plays out is if Daniel wins the veto. But there are still options for the veto to not be used, even if some of the other groups end up winning. So we will have to wait and see what happens there. But anything else that you wanted to bring up, Scally?
No, I am. I think we got good summarization of the day yesterday.
All right. Well, we'll see where the muffins go tomorrow. But for now, that's what we've got for you. Thank you all for joining us. I'll, of course, be back tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 24 live feeds, including what happens with this veto draw and then eventually veto competition. We will probably have the plans for what people will do. And see, you know, basically either it's going to be like, yep, it's pretty much just Daniel, or it'll be like, oh boy, maybe things will happen. So we'll have to wait and see for tomorrow. And, that's about what we've got. So make sure you, come over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Come hang out, watching episodes live with all of you, and then, streaming some games and all the other kinds of fun stuff. I've also dropped an Among Us video this week, which was a very fun one. Make sure you check that one out. Scally featured in said video, if you want to see more Scally. That's about what I've got for you. So Scally, what are you up to?
A lot. I have popped up. Let's see. Talking about, if you want more Big Brother mess, head on over to the Challenge USA. I'm talking about that every week with Matt Liguori over on the Dom and Colin podcast. That's been a ton of fun. Also talking twice a week with Kirsten over on the RHAP wrap-ups about Love Island. She actually was out for this most recent podcast. So Chappelle did sub in. That was a ton of fun getting his thoughts on the season. And then I did most recently guest on the Lonely Boys podcast talking about Gossip Girl, the classics. And who knows when that might leave HBO Max. So check that out while you can.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. Oh, what, the feeds just came back?
Ooh.
Hold on. Can we inform you about the veto draw? Can we get this nice. In time? Let's stall. Stall. Somebody say something.
So well, what are you hoping?
No, so not that. Stop. Stop.
It's so.
What's your ideal outcome here?
Hold on. I think we have it. It looks like, is it Alyssa Indian Taylor? We're perhaps chosen here after all. So Daniel and Kyle will not be playing in the veto if this is the case. Obviously, I don't have the ability to fully confirm this, but I think it's looking pretty likely at this point that it is Alyssa, Indy, and Taylor. So, so the only way now that the veto does not get used is if they really push to make a play here where either Taylor or Michael and Brittany decide not to use it and kind of go against what the, you know, theoretically, I guess not necessarily the rest of the alliance. I think basically it like a coup has to happen. But Michael, Brittany, Kyle, Turner, and Taylor all have to go to Michael and Monty and Joseph and say, hey, we want Terrence to leave this week. And we don't want to use the veto. And they're going to have to be okay with that, which I can't imagine that they would be. So looking very likely at this point that all of that Monty stuff, keep it on the back burner for future weeks because it's probably going to be Daniel from this point forward, but we will have to wait and see. So
yeah,
that's what we have for you today. Look, this is what happens if you skip out on the plugs. Look, we're pretty quick with the plugs
right
over here on the morning update. We do pretty well. I feel like we're okay with them. You got to stick with them. Otherwise, you miss some post-plug stuff sometimes.
The post-credit scene is strong.
Exactly. Exactly. We're the Marvel movies of podcasts. All right. So that's what we have for you today. Thank you all so much for joining us. And I will see all of you next time.